All right. The way we go after the two elements of internal validity is different. Initial equivalence is about random assignment of individual participants to treatment conditions before the treatment begins. I really would like you to carry all of these words. I know it's a pain in the ass. But all the words are going to save your ass sometime. Ongoing equivalence. The other kind of random assignment. Oh, God, are you kidding me? No. Random assignment to treatment conditions is initial equivalence. Random assignment to procedural alternatives is ongoing equivalence.
Because you already started messing with them. You started doing something.
Let's say that you have two research assistants. You don't want one to run the control condition and the other to run the experimental condition. That would be an ongoing equivalence confound. Right? So after you flip the coin to decide which condition a particular participant is going to be in, you then flip another coin to decide which research assistant's going to run them or code their data or whatever. The second form of ongoing equivalence is what is blandly called procedural standardization, which means we did everything exactly the same except the manipulation of the causal variable. Those are the two things we use: procedural standardization and random assignment of individuals to procedural alternatives. So here's the big picture. We start with a population, we draw a pool, that is subject selection. That is population external validity. Then we take that pool and we randomly assign individuals to treatment and control conditions or their order for within groups design. That gives us initial equivalence of internal validity. Now they're in conditions. Something's going to happen so that they get manipulated, task stimulus, and get the data. There are almost certainly going to be more than one version of those. You probably have more than one computer. You have more than one test site. You have more than one this, that, and other things. Those should all be randomly assigned. So you can have layers of this procedural random assignment. I flip a coin to decide which room they're going to be in. I flip another coin to decide who's going to go into the room with them. I flip another coin to decide which set of stimuli they're going to use. That's what it would take to have used random assignment to produce both initial and ongoing equivalence. So, there's two kinds of randomizing here. Your job is to decide which one was for initial equivalence purposes, because we're randomly assigning subject variables, and which ones are about ongoing equivalence, because we're randomly assigning procedural variables. Each participant would receive the standard or the experimental operation was determined by a coin flip. We flipped another coin to decide which of four surgeons would perform the operation. Which one's initial equivalence? All right. First one. Here's the way. This is why we gave them to you in pairs, because you know it's one of each. The surgeon. Is the surgeon a property of the participant or the procedure? So randomly assigning surgeons got to be ongoing. How are we doing? Sometimes you solve things by proxy. Half the participants were assigned to use the old stimulus set we've been using for years, and half were assigned to use the new stimulus set we had just made this semester. Half of them were randomly assigned to visual, half of them were randomly assigned to condition, touch condition. Is the stimulus a property of the procedure or the participant?
Procedure.
So the first one's initial or ongoing?
Ongoing.
The other one has to be? Remember, random assignment to conditions is initial. Random assignment to procedural alternatives is ongoing. Jane ran a random one half of the participants and Sam ran the other half.
Ongoing.
Yes. Because Jane and Sam are not part of the participants. Perfect. You spoil me.